Welcome to the Friday Night Clive podcast with me, Clive Payne. In this podcast, we look back at the amazing charities, organisations and people we have chatted to over the past few months, all of whom have interesting and important stories to tell. When we need help, who do we turn to? A friend, maybe? A family member? Or would we consider talking to the Samaritans? Is it something that you've done or even considered doing? And what do we know about the Samaritans and the work that they do and the people that they help? Well, it's been about 3.5 years since we spoke to the Samaritans on Friday Night Clive, and I thought it would be well worth touching base with them again to find out a little bit more about what they're doing. And if you're not aware of the work of the Samaritans, what their legacy is and the sort of things that they do and how they help and support people. On the line to tell me more is Peter Harrison from the Samaritans. Good evening, Peter.
Hi, Clive, and hello to all your listeners.
Thank you very much for joining me this evening, Peter. First of all, for anybody who is unaware of the Samaritans, just tell me a little bit about their history.
Yeah, so the Samaritans have been on the scene for a very long time. We're over 65 years old now. We were founded in the 50s by a vicar who had sort of counselled members of his parish but wanted to do something more specific for people contemplating suicide. Mm-hmm. He wanted to sort of set up like a 999 for people in crisis. He started literally one man with a telephone who mm-hmm. was willing to listen to people. But since then, we've obviously grown to this huge national charity with people, you know, non-religious, of course, with like over 200 branches, 22,000 volunteers. So we've come an awful long way. We're old, but we're looking to look to the future really and see if we can find new ways to kind of reach out to people.
Sure. Tell me about some of the issues that people ring the Samaritans for, because it isn't necessarily for people who may consider or may be in fear of taking their own life, for example.
Yeah, exactly. So, surprisingly enough, it's only about 1 in 4 people who call us who express suicidal feelings. It can be literally, it's really anything. You know, we prefer that you call us, before you get to rock bottom, you know, because then if we can help you out before you get there and help you not to get there, then, you know, prevention is better than cure, right? So people call us about absolutely everything. We get calls from people who have had a bad day and don't know anyone else to talk to, right the way through to someone who, you know, perhaps has pills in front of them and, you know, the more sort of dramatic scenarios that you might imagine Samaritans mm-hmm. typically deals with. But it can really be anything. So if anyone's out there listening, it's open to you 24 hours a day. Whatever's on your mind, we're just here to kind of listen to you and explore what you're going through.
Sure. Tell me about your role and responsibilities within the organisation.
So I'm, first and foremost, I'm a listening volunteer. So we're not paid, none of us are paid. But I think there's a beauty in that, actually, that, you know, we just, this whole organisation is run by people who just want to be human with you, I guess, and just and give you the time of day that you need.
So if somebody rings up the Samaritans, if your call logging system will put them through to somebody, it could well be you, for example.
It could be, yes. So I take calls off the helpline, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I also organise outreach activities in Wolverhampton and help with training new Samaritans and that kind of thing as well.
Right, so I bet you're kept busy as well as your professional work.
Fairly.
Now, I mean, at the end of the day, Samaritans volunteers, the Samaritans, I know for a fact, they just won't have anybody. You're all trained counsellors, aren't you?
So we wouldn't say we're trained counsellors, but we all do receive quite extensive training in listening skills. The reason why we make that distinction between counselling and what we do is that counselling can involve kind of giving advice, and we're very careful that we don't give advice and we don't offer any kind of support in that sense, but mm-hmm. we're just there to kind of give our callers a space to explore what they're going through mm-hmm. and help them find their own conclusions.
I mean, we talked generically a second ago about the kind of things that, that the people telephoned the Samaritans about. Clearly, without giving any confidences away, can you recall any particular calls that you've taken recently that are, that, that you can share with us?
I mean, there's so many. Obviously, I can't talk about specifics.
No.
But there are always some that stay with you. You know, people who open up for the first time. I find personally that if someone, as a male, if a female calls up and opens up about sexual abuse for the first time in their lives on the phone, I find that incredibly profound. As anyone, but especially as a man, to be able to kind of hold that space and allow them to open up about that is a really incredible thing. But really, all the calls where someone calls up and feels a little clearer or a little better by the end, it's just the most rewarding thing ever.
Mm. I mean, as you say, you have calls like that where. That example you gave me where somebody may ring up to talk about sexual abuse, that sort of thing must, as you say, it stays with you, it plays on your mind. How are you supported through the organisation for your own mental health and well-being? Because these kind of things can affect you, can't they? You're human like anybody else.
Yes, yeah, absolutely, yeah. We're not sort of, we're not superhuman by any means.
No.
But when you join Samaritans, you know, we're all trained to support each other as well as the callers, you know. So after every shift, we'll talk to each other. We'll talk to someone who hasn't been on the call and can kind of give some more detached support to you. And if you kind of go home, if you take it home and it's playing on your mind, you know, there's always several people that you can contact in the organization that will help you kind of talk it through. And obviously, you know, if it's really affected you and you need to take some time, then that's completely okay as well.
Sure. Now, as you were saying earlier on, you don't just help people over the phone. You've talked about some of the things that you do that are away from helping people on the phone. What sort of things does the organisation do on a wider basis that support people in the community that are not necessarily phone related?
I mean, that's a massive question. We could do a whole session just on that. but I'll go through some of the stuff that we
give
do.
Give me a snapshot.
Yes. So aside from the helpline, we can also support people via email, and we're also doing an online chat, working out how how that will work. But aside from actually supporting people in that kind of direct manner, we have a massive impact in terms of the research into suicide and how policies are formed. A lot of the statistics that are used in policies and the research is gathered by Samaritans. We do work with prisons, for example, so we'll actually go into prisons and train prisoners to have listening skills and to kind of create those sort of an internal support network so that they can support each other in that incredibly isolated environment. We work with the trains, train staff to kind of spot people on platforms, for example, who might be thinking of jumping.
Mm-hmm.
There's been thousands of interventions across the country from that training. Similarly for workplace, we'll go into companies, you know, we'll sometimes be out on the street doing a stall and we also work with the military. As I said, this is a long list. we'll support veterans. We support currently serving members. We have like a dedicated app for the military.
Do you know, something I find, I don't know what your experience is of this,
yeah,
but I find that when, and I've talked about this on my Drive Time program before, that I find it abhorrent, really, that people come out of the military, regardless of the service that they've been in, and just seem to come back into a civilian life and seem to get abandoned. And some people don't adjust to that very well. Some people you find themselves living on the streets, living rough, because they cannot adjust to, you know, the life that you and I would ordinarily know. And I find that extraordinary, that we seem to fail our service personnel. And I guess that's where your work comes in as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Trying to readjust to civvy street, as perhaps they might say, is is always a challenge. And as much to be fair to the armed forces, they do, you know, they've got lots of incredible charities that try to fill that gap. But at the end of the day, some people might not want to have, you know, forces specific help. And sometimes it is just a case of they want someone to listen to them. And not try to kind of come in with, at all, you could do this, 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 and here's my advice to you, but just a bit of human warmth and human connection to talk through what they're going through.
Sure. A lot of the work you do is in schools as well, and, you know, you find that students these days are under increasing academic pressure, and also sort of social pressure as well from, you know, peers and, you know, other students, for example. How do you work with people in an educational environment?
Sure. So we go into schools quite regularly. Pre-COVID, obviously, that's only just starting to come back. But we will go into sort of assemblies and talk about, you know, raise awareness of mental health and how we can support each other. And we also have a massive program called Step by Step, where if there is a suspected suicide in a school, which really causes shockwaves. I mean, you know, people who... You don't have to have known the person, but, you know, the effect that can have on any environment, but especially a school, is just colossal. So we go in and support the students, but also work with the pastoral teams and the teachers there to kind of put measures in place that can help, you know, deal with that atmosphere. So it's a varied work that we do with schools. We're also starting to look at training peer mentors. And so a lot of schools will have their own kind of system for training their students to support each other. And we're looking at how we can kind of come in and do a bit of training with them.
Now, this month is Samarathon Month. What's that all about?
Great, yeah. So Samarathon happens every July. It's the idea is that you walk, run, cycle, whatever you want to do for 26.2 miles of marathon distance. It's in your own time. It's in your own pace. It's not like you have to kind of leave your house and just go for 26 miles, and that's you. But it's the idea is to get out, to get active, and to raise a bit of money for Samaritans, because we need those funds. And
well, you're a charity like any other organisation, aren't you? In the sense that there's no state funding, so you have to raise your own funds to survive.
Exactly, yeah. And, we raise quite a lot of money with Samarathon every year. It was something like, $220,000 last year. So it's a really successful campaign. We did encourage everyone to get involved, get active, do your own thing, and support us in any way you can.
If we're not able to run or walk, for example, Peter, are there other ways that we can get involved?
Sure, yeah. So, we're really passionate. This is your event, really. You know, you can really make this your own. So if you're, for example, if you're a wheelchair user, do that, own it, and if you can't make that distance, that's fine. The point is that not that you're, an athlete or that you're working a certain distance. I think the point is that you're getting out, you're doing your best, and raising awareness. That's really what it's about.
So how can we actually go about raising this money then? How do we interact with the organisation?
So you can go on the website. There's all sorts of details on there, and that will help you with, setting up, for example, a fundraising page, or give you all sorts of different ways of fundraising, model posts to do on social media and all of that sort of stuff. So it's really handed to you on a plate, really. And there's also groups on Facebook and stuff where, you can share your progress and, support each other. We give free T-shirts. Everyone loves a free T-shirt. There's lots of different ways to get involved. But the details should all be on the website.
Lovely. Now, you run many other events, don't you, to help raise awareness and fundraising. Can you talk me through some of those briefly?
Yeah, so the one that we're... two probably that we're most famous for. We do a Brew Monday on what is normally known as Blue Monday in January.
Mm-hmm.
With the idea is we sort of flip the concept of Blue Monday being the sort of the most down or depressed sort of day across the board, and say that this is an opportunity for us to all talk to each other and to, you know, get a cuppa and just, how are you?
Yeah.
We also do Small Talk Saves Lives, which is a campaign about how, especially in the context of trains and so forth, if you see someone who looks like they're in distress, you know, just having a small talk conversation, you know, how's the weather, you know, and all of that sort of normal stuff that you might do with a stranger can actually save that person's life, potentially. And it just shows that someone cares. And we also do lots of stuff in the community. So, as we've already talked, then all the stuff with schools and all of that. And we even recorded a Christmas single last year, which was great fun. Went down to New Hampton Arts Centre and recorded songs and all sorts.
Super. Now, if we find that we need to ring the Samaritans, what's the number, Peter, that people ring?
It's 116-123.
And that's the whole number, isn't it? Just 116-123?
Yes. Yeah, that's it. And then that's, you know, you can call us up absolutely any time. You know, if that's 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, there's not many people you can call, but we'll be there.
Now, is that, I take it that's a free number, and does that show on our bills?
No, it doesn't. So it is a free number, and it won't show on your bills or your history or so forth. As Samaritans, we know that there are some contexts where, you know, that can present a problem for people, so we sorted that.
Super. So that's as simple as that, 116-123. And as you say, that's free, and that's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Absolutely, yeah. And if you prefer to write to us, we've also got joe@samaritans.org.
Lovely. So joe@samaritans.org. Peter Harrison from Samaritans, thank you very much for talking to Friday Night Clive. That is your lot for this episode. You can catch the programme live every Friday night on Black Country Radio from 8 p.m. If you like our podcast, please subscribe by heading to blackcountryradio.co.uk/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts from. See you very soon. This is a Black Country Radio podcast presented by Clive Payne and produced by Andy Caddick.